Great. We've had many speakers in the last few weeks and months, so I've been away for a while, but here we are again. So we're going to talk about today, being in a spiritual desert can happen to anyone. In other words, the best of us can get into a desert. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, for the most part, most people think, if you think of a desert, what comes into your mind? You may think of Las Vegas as a city that was built there. That's the one that comes up pretty quick. But a desert is not a very nice place to be. It may look beautiful in view of it, but if you lived there, water will be a challenge to start with. Does that make sense? And water is life. So it may look nice from a distance or from a picture point of view, but if you lived there, you have challenges. As well, there are animals in this place, by the way. Snakes are some of the animals you get in the desert. That's not a very friendly place to be at night. It's cold, extreme cold, and extreme hot during the day. You can have some spots here just to visit and go, but when I talk of spiritual, being in a spiritual desert, essentially, is the drawing up of an enchantment with God and who God can be in our lives. In a sense, come into a place of doubt, even though we believe that God is real, and doubting whether God is for us or against us. All that's the stuff I want to talk about in the next few weeks. And so when you're in this place, you really don't have that naivety that you need from God. And you doubt a lot of things, and that's what we'll talk about today. Doubting God builds rebellion. We're going to talk about the Israelites. They had been traveling out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, had a lot of victories and challenges. Until this point, that's when they really begin to struggle. And if you read their story, is that they're doing pretty well when they leave Egypt. I mean, it's 10 plagues that God, after 10 plagues, God gets them out. And they come out in defiant and trusting that God will take care of us. But they come to this point, and they start to doubt God. Deuteronomy 1, 26, 28. But you are unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. They had been told, go up and get this land that you promised by God. And they told Moses, I think we need to send spies. And Moses said, that is a good idea. Let us send some spies to come and tell us how this place is. When the spies came back, the story changed. They weren't so enthusiastic about going to get the promised land. It is possible that we start with a strong conviction and believe in God. And God has these promises about our life and the challenges that we face. Are we as faithful about what God said in the beginning, right now in our life? Or are we in the desert? So, he says, but you are unwilling. Have we reached places of being unwilling to hear God? To go up, you rebel against the command of your God. You grumble in your tents. They didn't grumble in front of Moses, in their tents. In their tents. That at home, that's where the grumbling happens. That they lost God so much, they were in the desert so much, that at home they just grumbled. They didn't talk about God and what God was doing in their life. They were just grumbling in their tents and said, the Lord hates us. That you came to a place of thinking God does not like you. That everything going on in my life is a sign that God does not like me. I mean, he got them out of Egypt after 10 plagues. And took them through the desert and with a lot of victory. And now they come to a place of maybe God doesn't like us. You're in the desert if you start thinking that God does not like you. You're in the desert if you think that all the challenges you face is a result of God not being with you. You're basically in the desert there. You're not hearing God's voice. He's talking to you, says, we can do this, but you're busy saying, I don't think this will happen. So they grumbled in the there, and then it says, he hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. God does not save you from the world to come and destroy you in the light. I don't understand how we can say that God got me out of the world, brought me to his kingdom, but just destroy me. That happens because we will not hear the voice of God, and we've come to a place where we're not submitting. We're grumbling in the tents. That's what consumes us. He didn't take you out of the world. He didn't take you out of Egypt to come and destroy in the desert. Where can we go? That's a part of the problem. You're not going where you're supposed to go. Go and get the land. They're asking, where can we go? Then he says, what? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. Ah, the story has changed. It's no longer us. It's our brothers. The 12 spies. You know, that happens. Before you know it, you're blaming everybody else. You're not in the equation. In the desert, say, how did I get here? Well, it's everybody else's mistakes. You're never seeing yourself. Then he says this here, that they say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large, with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there, tall people. They will destroy us. They have told us these things. So because of what they said, they must be true. I thought the word of God is what is true, not what people say. When you're in the desert, human beings and what they say is bigger than what God says. That's when you know you're coming to a desert place. That you now are so influenced by what people say that God is so small. And some of us are so influenced by CNN and Fox that God is not being heard anymore. And all the radio stations we go into and not hear God anymore. We live in tension, in fear, and we don't see that God has opportunity before us for us to go to the promised land. Whatever that may be for you spiritually, you need to go to the promised land. So you doubt, you have no faith, you're at a crossroad. You think, God got me, but I'm doubting. God got me, but I'm doubting. Can this change? Yes, it can, if you listen to God. And you know, those faces just show me a bit of doubt, what that can do to your soul. The soul can really get sad when you're in the desert, and not very unhappy place. You're not enchanted anymore with God. And you just wonder, what is the place? What is this place? It's the spiritual desert. In verse 21 through 23, in the same chapter, we'll stay here in Deuteronomy. Then I say to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. And this point will be mistrust of God puts us in a spiritual desert. This is how we get here. And he's telling them, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. He reminds them of how God has fought for them, and he did it in Egypt. I want to remind you how God has walked for you before. You may be facing a mountain right now, but I want to remind you how God has walked for you before. If you look back and you see how God has brought you through difficult times, then you know that God has not changed. You may have changed in how you see him. And that's what he's talking about. He fought for you in Egypt. Brought you out of wilderness. There you saw the Lord, your God, carry you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached his place. That he carried you as a father carries his son. Then he says this, in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord, your God. Is it possible that you're having a trust crisis with God? That you've moved so far from God that for the most part you say, God, show me a sign that you're there. And he shows you the day and you don't think that's a sign. You know, the day is just a beautiful day. So show me a bigger sign. And the sun comes out and that's not even a good sign enough. Show me a sign and the trees are changing and the colors are beautiful and that's not even a beautiful sign. Because when you're in the desert, you don't even see God. Show me a sign. Your boss says hello to you and you think, well, why did he say hello to me? Maybe it's up to something. When you're not hearing God, that's what happens. You're not seeing what God is doing. And he says, we went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night. Now, who went ahead of you on your journey, in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp, to show you the way you should go, that God is ahead of you. I want to put that in your mind today and in your hearts. God is ahead of you. So stop trying to play God and just hear, experience God. Let me say that again. God is ahead of you. Stop trying to play God and let God just experience God as who He is, the source. Does that make sense? You see, trust in God decreases in tolerance of uncertainty, decreased worry. Is it possible that you're so worried that you can't hear God today? You're worried about retirement. You're worried about everything. You're worried about your future. You're worried about how you look in the mirror. You're worried about all these things that we can worry about. Worried about how people perceive you. Worried about money. Worried about anything else we can put up there. Because you worry so much, you don't trust God. Because you're trying to control. And the more you try to control, the more you lose yourself. You have to give yourself back to God. That's how you leave the desert. Does that mean? Okay, we'll figure it out. Mistrust in God increased in tolerance of uncertainty, increased worry. That's what it creates. Mistrust of God puts us in a spiritual desert. Really, when you think about it, is that there's a mistrust there. That comes because your relationship with God is in a place that you do not know Him for yourself. Let me put it this way. That somewhere between you and God, there's no intimacy. It's dying. That somewhere between you and God, there's no personal walk. It's something I talk about here on Sunday, and you get inspired for the hour or for the minute. But you walk away, and you're like, is that really true? And it's also possible that you just have stopped reading the Word of God and hearing what He has to say. That's possible. They got to this place as Moses spoke to them and they couldn't hear Him. It's because even though God was doing a lot and had done a lot, they stopped to experience God there and began to start worrying about the future. When you stop to experience God here and worry about the future, you start playing God and mistrust grows. Because the truth be told is you don't know what the future brings. But one thing you know is God is on your side and you can rest with that. Everybody thinks that if I could somehow figure out the future, I'd be happy. You'd be sad. And many of us have lost the opportunity of engaging with God because we play God so much that we do not hear God now. And we keep hedging our happiness and joy to the fact that if I just had X, if I just had Y, don't realize that you should be joyful now. Because that's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if you keep in step with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you can hear. That's what the Israelites lost. Walked away. You don't want to know the future. You want to trust God and have fun today and let God take care of you. Our choices determine our destiny. Deuteronomy 1, 34, 36. When the Lord had what you said, He was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I sought to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it. And I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord's he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Let's talk about this for a moment. They were asked to go and spy the land. They didn't go spy the land. They came back, gave the report. The other guys didn't want to go, and now they were blaming them for being told the truth. But Jephunneh, you know, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, came back and said, "You know what? We can take that place," and everybody else was not agreeing with him. And this is a good example of how God functions. It's not God with one person as a majority. It's not the democracy we like to put on God all the time.
It's just, you got to go with God on this one. You'll trust that God will take care of you. And I have a question for you. Do you trust that God will take care of you?
Everybody else here gave up.
But it was a choice they made. You say, I wish my circumstances were different. You have a choice to trust God in those circumstances.
I wish my job was different. You have a choice to trust God in that job situation. I wish my spouse was different. You have a choice to trust God in that situation. I wish I was not single. You have a choice to trust God in that situation. I wish I had,
and we can put on all those wishes. It's not wishes. It's choices we need to come around. We need to replace wish with choice. Make a choice how you will hear God today.
Not based on history and all that stuff, but I'll make a choice on which way I'll go. I'll make a choice to trust God no matter what.
So a lot of people, we stop trusting God and we stop finding God. We don't want to do anything and say, God, just, if you're there, make it happen. Seek and you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. You have to do that in faith, though. In faith. Not in fear. In faith. Not to prove that God is not on your side. In faith. You want to do that in faith. Our choices determine our destiny. What choices have you made lately? What choices have you made lately? What choices have you made in your family? What choices have you made as a husband and as a wife? What choices have you made as a single person? Are these choices leading you to God or away from God? We like to delay choices. That's also a choice, you know. I need to think about it. Well, you've made a choice not to make a choice. We need to start making choices. If you're studying the Bible, you need to make a choice to follow Jesus. Amen? Because you don't know the time and the hour. We need to make that choice to follow Jesus. But what's your choice? Where are you going today after church? That's a choice. Where will you spend a night today? That's a choice. All these choices need to reflect Jesus being Lord, not ourselves. If you make those choices consistently, guided by God, you begin to experience God. Here's what we do. We make choices based on how we feel. Not based on what God's will. That's what they were doing here. They were saying, wait a minute, you messed up. But Jephna was saying, Caleb was saying, I am going to stay with God no matter what. Everybody else is not coming with God, but I'm going with God. You know, we live in a world that has become more and more godless. Pushing all kind of theories and ideas without any fact of found in Scripture or in God. And we want to believe that and say, I think that's a good choice. No, check out with God first before you make that move. Check with God and then you'll find out the right way to go. We like to say, you know what, I'm making this choice because everybody else is making that choice. Really? Everybody? Are you sure everybody made that choice? Did you check 6 billion people? That is an excuse to not apply yourself to God. What choices are you making? What choices are you making at work? As a disciple, what choices are you making there? Even when they're not being nice, what choices are you making? Sometimes we make a choice to be just angry, upset, and fight with everyone. It doesn't work. We've got to come back to trusting God. Caleb did that. Where are you going to go? Sometimes we made the choice to be more like the world. You know? Just merge with the world. We look more like the world. That's the choice we made. You say, I have no choice. You do have a choice. You really do have a choice. And you got to ask yourself this question. Are you going to be a Caleb? Or are you going to be with these other guys that for 40 years they ran around the desert, we'll talk about that next Sunday, and found nothing. Why? Because they refused to trust God. Sometimes you're stuck in the same place because you will not hear God, because you've mortgaged your emotions. Says, unless God does what I want, I'm not going to move. Then you're in the desert. For 40 years, you're going to be running around. God is not changing that. Your will needs to align with God's will, not the other way around. God is not going to align His will to your will, because you're created. He's the creator. So He's God. You're the creature. So you need to submit. And He provides the ways of how to live life. Amen? And if you're suffering, it's not because He hates you. It's a consequence of your choice. I like to say this, that you have a choice, but you don't have a choice on the consequences. That you have that choice, whatever you want to do. I can do what I want to. It's my life. Well, it's your life to the point of choice. When you make the choice, the consequences fly. At that point, the consequences own you to a certain degree. It's my life. I can smoke all I want. Well, you can, but it's coming your way. It's my life. I can sleep around all you can. Yes, you can, but it's coming back your way. It's going to bite. Anytime we walk away from God, it comes right back. It's not because God hates us. That's a consequence of staying away from God. Does that make sense? Experiences can harden your heart. Deuteronomy 1:37-40. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter either. I mean, that's Moses speaking. Because of you guys, God was angry with me and said, I will not enter the place. Moses had been involved with these people, got them out of Egypt, and nice, and because of you, I cannot even enter the place. Sometimes the experiences you have can just harden your heart. I mean, let's face it. Are there places you've just decided, I'm never going to talk with that person anymore? Have you forgiven them? I know you can forgive someone and never call them up for your birthday, but have you forgiven them? That's the crucial question. Are you hardened by experiences, past experiences? Experiences are just that, experiences. They don't need to define you. If we let those experiences define us, then something's gone wrong. They take over our life and define the future. We have to let go of stuff. Those are just experiences. They need to make us better, not angry, resentful, hardened, just ready to fight for any little thing. Because of your, he says this, because of, let me read that from this position. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter it either. But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them, and they will take possession of it. So God turns around and says, encourage Joshua, son of Nun. He can do it. I know you're not going there, but encourage him to do it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said will be taken captive. One of the reasons they didn't want to give 100% of themselves was, my children will be taken captive if I go to war with them. He says, oh no, those ones too, I'm going to bring them in. You guys are not coming in, but those ones I'll bring in. Why does he say that? That your children who would not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. Why? Children are not hardened by experiences yet. They will disagree and resolve quickly. They trust their parents very much. You can throw them up and grab them and they're not afraid. They'll learn fear later. You understand that? They're okay. They smile even if they don't have two teeth in front of them. They don't have those insecurities. They learn that later. They're very honest. If you ask them, what do you want to be? They say, I want to be a pilot. I want to be a policeman. And some of us parents, we cringe. Why do they want to say that? Because they don't have that problem yet. They are not socialized to fit society. But they are focused on what God, or at least in that spirit, they're just going to be who they want to be. But as for you, turn around and set toward the desert along the route of the Red Sea. They'll be there for a while. You know, I've been reading up so many things. towards this and just different things. And the Red Sea and how they just went around and around the desert. And sometimes some of us have been in the desert just experiencing the same life. I was reading about the brain and all that stuff, and the guy said that the average human being has about 70,000 thoughts a day. This is a doctor of some sources, but that's all he does, he studies our brains. That your thoughts, in a day you're having 70,000 thoughts. But here's the sad part. 90% of your thoughts are repeated. So how does he connect? Then that is why you have the same experience every day. That is a desert right there. No wonder, because you're not hearing the word and being enchanted and being encouraged every day, differently from God, you have the same system, same way of thinking every day. So you experience life the same way. That if you just change that, think about these things, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent. If you just changed your mindset and how you think about life on a day-to-day basis, not experiencing yesterday, today, and living 365 days, same thoughts, same experience, just different clothes and different environment, but same experience. That's the desert. They were there. Too many of us are in that desert because we have stopped to hear God and let Him change our thinking. The thinking is the same. We're getting older, but the thinking is the same. We're getting younger, the thinking is the same. I don't know how far you get younger. I guess from about age 0 to 40, then you start dying a little bit more. I'm not sure about that. Talk to the doctors. Younger to a certain degree and then older. I don't know why we don't like older. Older is a good place to be. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's the place. Just in case you're thinking I'll never get old. Welcome. You're coming this side. Anyway, back to the story. They went to the Red Sea. Because of our thoughts, we can get lost. Even though we're in church, we are lost in church. Never connecting to God, just lost in church, you know. Lost in a spiritual world. Never hearing truth. We can get confused. So what's the Bible say versus how I feel? And never come into a concrete truth. This is what the Bible says, so I'll submit to God. Place. We're just confused. Sometimes we're unsure, very unsure, but we don't want to do the job of getting in the Word and figuring out. We're just unsure, but we're lazy about getting there and just figuring it out. What does the Bible say in that direction? Or sometimes we're just perplexed. We watch from afar. We never get involved. We never get involved with the body of Christ. We never get involved spiritually. We just watch from afar. You know? Disoriented. We don't know which way is north, east, south. We're like a small child that's been going down in going around in circles, playing with your dad, and when you leave them there, they're just falling because they've lost their balance. That can be. That you've been in this place and you don't know how does north look like spiritually. You're just there, you know. How does north look like? You don't know. Is it east? Is it west? Is it south? You're just swelling. And you will not do the work of prayer. Yes, fasting. And honest conversations. Bewildered sometimes. Why? All those are experiences that can harden your heart. Then we take those experiences and make that is my reality. I tell you that God is bigger than your reality. We like to talk, but that's my reality. I say, I have never said not your reality, but I always say to you that God is way bigger than that reality. So this idea of throwing up my reality, you don't understand. I say, wait a minute, man. This God created you. I'm just telling you what He did. I can't fix you, but God can. I'm only a messenger, by the way. In case you wonder why I'm talking about this very strongly, the messenger must deliver the gospel. It's important we understand that aspect. We're not confused and disoriented. What experience is getting before you and God, or between you and God? What church experience has made you mistrust church altogether anyway? Yeah, some of us have had bad experiences. I'm not about to ask you to give money, by the way. That's not happening. Yeah, you can tithe, but today I'm not talking about God blessing you 100 times of over. That's not my conversation. My conversation today is your experience. What is it that you have taken in that is hindering you from hearing God and experiencing God? It was the other day, I was going around my things, just doing life, and I said to myself, sometimes I'm unhappy. And why am I unhappy? Because I'm letting life dictate my joy. And said, but that's not the way God wants me to live. And I said, you know what? I need to be happy. And I came home very happy that day. Thank you. Because sometimes you go home and you're just, man, life is a misery. Woe is me. Let me sit on my couch right now and watch some TV. Or let me stay and play some video game. Or let me just eat a meal and be quiet. Don't talk to me. I'm in a bad mood. Really? God is bigger than these things. We've got to live like people who have God around us. Amen? So let's finish here. Then you replied, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight as the Lord our God commanded us. So every one of you put on his weapons. You have to understand that a few minutes ago they were saying, we're not going. We will not do it. Now he tells them, you know what, guys? None of your generation is coming. Game over. Now they turn around and say, wait a minute. A whole generation? No. They say, well, we have to go somewhere. We will go up and fight as the Lord our God commands us. So everyone of you put on his weapon, thinking it is easy to go up to the hill country. Sometimes we get convicted. We have a knee jerk. A reaction of, okay, I'm going to get back in the race. It's not a story of reaction. It is the heart that needs to submit to God first. It's not action oriented. It is the heart that comes first before the action follows. So they reacted. But the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up and fight because I will not be with you. You will be defeated by your enemies. That is a strong conversation coming out of God. Tell them they will not, but they will not hear. Why? Because it's no longer about God, it's about them. One of the trajectories of most Christians is at some point it stops being about God, it becomes about them. At some point, I'll borrow Mark's words, we start to fade into ourselves and not into Jesus. We just fade away into ourselves. It's no longer about God. We fed so much into who we are, what we weren't. And we forget that there is God in this equation. Fear and legalism don't move God. So they were afraid that they will not be entering the kingdom of God 40 years in the desert. And now they say, okay, we got to change and let's just do the action. The action doesn't bring God to a place, doesn't bring God to the center of your life if the heart has not submitted. And many of us, I know that many of us get in there and say, okay, I'm reading my Bible every morning. But why are you doing that? Is the heart in place where you say, I am submitting to God? When you read, you're not reading from, okay, I want to read what speaks to me. This is not Tylenol, where you take just to cool down your pain. Bible study is not a painkiller. It's a healing that happens place. There's work there. There's work there. It's not an easy climb to the mountain. And many of us are afraid to do that work. If you've been married some time, you know what I wanted. If you've been married and you've been married a long time, you know that if you're not honest with your wife or your husband, intimacy will not happen. You'll not be intimate friends just because you live in the same house. You may have better friends in the office than your wife or your husband. You have to be really honest talking through things. Similarly, if we're not really honest with God, we may be more friends with the world than with God. Always, we are afraid to climb because when we talk with God, he says, but you got some sin in your life that needs to go. You got idols in your life that need to go. You got some pride in your life that needs to go. You got deception. You got all kinds of things that need to go in your life. You got lack of forgiveness, slander, and all that stuff that stays in there that needs to go. And you realize, I need to do some work on that. You got fear. You got stuff. You got people pleasing that needs to go. And because you need to deal with that stuff, you don't want to. So you try to please but and become legalistic. It doesn't work. Then you say, it doesn't work. Oh, no, it's how you're coming about it that is the problem. In fact, some of us want to make this journey 50 meters race. Not even 100 meters. St. Bolt will be passing people by halfway there, about 50 meters. He'll start pulling away. Well, we want to make it 50 meters because then Bolt will not pass us. This is a huge marathon. The marathon requires not in competition with anyone, just with you and getting to heaven. That marathon requires that you keep running and not stopping. My concern this morning is that somewhere we are driven too much with fear or legalism, and God is not being heard in our hearts. We got to get this one right. It's time to get out of the desert and begin hearing God's voice again. Amen? So let's finish here. Guilt and shame will produce arrogance. So they were trying to change things quickly and go on. The Bible says, so I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command. And in your arrogance, you marched up in the hill country. Why? They were feeling guilt. They were feeling shame. We didn't listen the first time. There's shame associated with that. Now, in changing, not really being broken, they're being arrogant. And the Bible says, the Amorites who lived in this hill country will come out against you. They will chase you like a swarm of bees. Have you ever been chased with bees? I don't wish you that. I watch these programs and I see people being chased with bees. I said, that's a terrible place to be. And then it says, they were chased by bees and beat you down from Seir all the way to Homer. You came back and wept before the Lord, but he paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you. And so you stayed in Kadesh many days, all the time you spend there. God didn't listen because when he spoke, they didn't pay attention. And when they tried to turn to God, they came not because of being broken, but because of fear and legalism. When that did not succeed and did what they were trying to do, they got shame and guilt, and they became arrogant and just did stuff. It's possible that as a Christian, you've gone through this journey. At some point, you're very legalistic and fearful and did a lot of stuff. And especially if you've been around a long time as a Christian, you go through that stuff of doing stuff, but you're not getting anywhere spiritually. Depth is lacking. Depth is lacking. You're doing a lot of stuff, but there's no depth. That is the challenge you're facing. Then you walk away from that, and then you come to this place when you are not paying attention to God, and guilt hits you, and shame. And then you do some stuff out of arrogance, and you feel bitten with bees, and you just feel tired. You're confused. There's hope. There's hope if we submit to God. We'll keep talking about this topic for the whole month. God bless you.